you are about to see the first public exhibition of an entirely new form of entertainment.
That belongs in a museum.
You are about to see the first public exhibition of an entirely new form of entertainment.
That belongs in a museum.
Hello, and welcome back to Treasury Cast, the show that celebrates the greatest comics format of all time, the Treasury Edition, proud member of the Fine Water Podcast Network. I'm your host, Rob Kelly. Now, normally this would be the point where I introduced my guest for this particular episode, but this is a unique show. First of all, obviously, it's our only second one back since I ended the show earlier in 2025. But it's also unique because there is no guest. It is just me. I originally planned to have a guest, but due to some scheduling restrictions on my end and some unfortunate Zoom problems, we could not get the show recorded. And so I'm deciding to just fly solo and do this episode by myself, and I will have that guest back on for another episode. And sometimes, you know, the internet is a dodgy thing. So why are we doing the show? Why is Treasury Cast coming back after I ended the show? Well, obviously, after we talked about the Superman Hero for All Treasury over the summer and the fact that we've got these facsimile editions now, and we're going to talk about them a little bit later on in the show, Treasuries have been on my mind a little bit more, and there are about a dozen Treasuries that from the classic era, the 70s and 80s, that I never got around to in the original run of the show. And I had never, you know, the show's remit was never, I'm going to cover everyone and then I'm going to end. It was more like, well, I just think 100 is a good way to stop. And so it didn't bother me a whole lot that there were some left behind. But now that I'm kind of more in the mindset of bringing Treasury Cast back every so often, I want to get to those. I want to get to those classic treasuries that I had as a kid and maybe a little bit later and talk about those. So the one we're going to be talking about today is Marvel Treasury Edition number 17, starring the Incredible Hulk. It was on sale April 4th, 1978. Now, I have distinct memories of having this with me when I would go on vacation in the Poconos, which means this is, yes, a mountain comic. Now, whether I bought it at home and just brought it with me, or I actually picked it up in the Poconos, that I can't remember. Now, I just mentioned this came out in April. Would this book have still been on sale in August by the time we would have been on vacation? Yeah, maybe. Some of those newsstand vendors weren't really very diligent about cleaning up what were old comics or whatever. And the treasuries were always meant to hang around longer than other books anyway. So I could see that maybe one of these Hulk treasuries was still lying around in August by the time for me to go get it. But I just have distinct memories of sitting and reading this. In fact, one story in particular, which we will get to. So the cover to this book, which you'll see on the gallery post, is by Bob Budiansky and Tony DiZuniga. And you've got the Hulk here raging against the dying of the light during this thunderstorm. And it reminds me a lot of the opening credits to the Incredible Hulk TV series. At the very end, the raging storm that dwells inside him. And he's getting rained on and stuff like that. Funnily enough, the Hulk TV series was already started by this point. It started at the end of 1977. This book came out in 78. But it doesn't have the giant as seen on TV blurb that Marvel slapped on virtually every treasury after this, featuring Spider-Man or the Hulk, because you know, they were both on TV at that point. It's a weird missed opportunity. It's not like there isn't room on this cover for yet another blurb, but nevertheless, no as seen on TV blurb here. But I like this cover a lot. It's pretty generic. You know, it could work on any Hulk comic or in a pinup gallery or stuff. But it's wonderfully composed and beautifully colored, and the Hulk is especially kind of neon-y here, and I'm sure it caught my eye when I was all of 7 years old. Of course, I read the Hulk regularly anyway, so Hulk plus Treasury was going to be an instant buy for me. So on the inside cover, there is the table of contents featuring our stories. We see some art by Herb Trimpe, and then we get to the first story, which is Within the Swamp There Stirs a Glob, from The Incredible Hulk, number 121, by Roy Thomas and Herb Trimpe. Now, there's no credit. There's no inker credit in this book, but on Mike's Amazing World, it said it was Sal Buscema, I believe. So we'll go with that. Mike's Amazing World is almost always right. So the plot of this one is the Hulk looks to escape to his troubles in Florida. Good luck with that. No sooner is he hit by a missile that alerts the army to his presence and dumps him in the swamp. He lands near an abandoned shack, angrily smashing it, spilling barrels of toxic waste into the water. The radioactive chemicals revive the dead body of an escaped prisoner, turning him into a monster called the Glob. This leads to a confrontation between the Green Goliath and the Glob, leading to the Glob's death when he tries to save Betty, who gets caught up between them. So this is just before Man-Thing and Swamp-Thing, which I believe were created in the exact same month or something like that. So Roy Thomas is a little bit ahead of the game here. Of course, there were swamp creatures in comics before this. There was the 40s one, the Heap, and stuff like that. But so this is not the most original creation in the world, but what the heck? Swamp creatures are pretty standard trope for monster comics, superhero comics. And of course, this is just when the comics code was loosening and the superhero comics could do more horror content. I do love the origin of the Glob that we never get this guy's name. He's just an unnamed prisoner. I love on page 9 of this book, we see the prison that he's in. And, you know, most prisons, if you've ever driven around one, they're part of like a neighborhood. They're recessed away from the rest of the neighborhood, but you know, there'll be a sign and some gates and things like that. You know, it's in most suburban neighborhoods and stuff like that. At least as far as I've seen, this jail looks like Frankenstein's castle. It sits atop a hill and it's got these turrets and it's clearly obviously supposed to be a little Alcatraz-y, but it looks just very, very dramatic, like very Marvel Comics kind of jail cell. And it is kind of grim that this guy, it's very Andy Dufresne, Shawshank Redemption kind of thing, where he escapes out into the jail, and then he gets chased by these dogs, and then he falls into this, the swamp drags him down and kills him, and then it mixes with the vat of chemicals, turning him into the Glob. Art-wise, Herb Trimpe does a great, great Glob, just fun to say, and the battles between the Glob and the Hulk are really fun. Herb Trimpe's work was very cartoony, and in some of the more horror-y elements, it's kind of an interesting mix, kind of. Like, there's one panel where the Glob grabs Betty, and it just, like, it looks sort of weirdly cartoony, which I think cuts against the horror of it a little bit. But I like Herb Trimpe's work generally, and I really love the last panel of the book, which is the Hulk hiding in the shadows under the palm fronds and stuff as the army is... he's finally eluded the army once again, and they've colored the Hulk in this kind of darkened tone. And then the water is in this monochromatic blue hue. There's a lot of balloons. There's like a little too much copy, but nevertheless, it's kind of effective and sort of moody. And the Glob ends up being not a bad guy because again, when Betty gets involved, he saves Betty and sacrifices himself by being sucked into the fetid chemicals that make up the swamps here down in Florida. So a good story. I enjoyed it. It's fun, and it's fun to see the Glob drawn at this size. Certainly, like the big full page introduction of him looks great in the Treasury, you know, where it's literally the name. It has no name, nor need for any, but the name, if name it you must, then call it the Shape or Mass or simply Glob. So Roy Thomas is really doing his best Stanley there. So anyway, fun story. Next up is Among Us Walks the Golem. Sounds a little like When Within the Swamp There Stirs a Glob. From Hulk number 134, again by Roy Thomas, Herb Trimpe. And again, there's Mike's Amazing World says Sal Buscema, but there's enough art difference here that makes me think either Buscema worked on some of it, or this was maybe an M. Hands job from the Marvel bullpen or something like that, because it just looks different than the previous story, which is inked by Trimpe and Buscema. This involves the Hulk wanders his way into a war-torn dictatorship known as Morvania, where he befriends a little girl named Rachel. Rachel believes the Hulk is actually the Golem, a supernatural creature of legend. His father is part of a rebellion to overtake the despot ruling the country, and of course the Hulk is drawn into the conflict. Clearly, this country, Morvania, is located down the road from Latveria. It's this war-torn country, but it's got access to all sorts of Marvel type weaponry. There's one vehicle here where that's got these tank treads, and there's like a turret that's sitting on top of it with these octopusy arms, which again is like, where what army can afford this $1 trillion piece of hardware that can reach out and throw the Hulk around? We get to see the Hulk fight it a little, which is fun. I like the ending story where they actually kind of thank the Hulk for helping them overtake the despot of Morvania, and they want him to help him run the country, which seems like not a great idea. Maybe get the Hulk running your country. And of course, the Hulk has no interest in that. And then they try to give him some jewels as a reward, and he's not interested. And he just basically smashes them and lets them go. And I certainly like the idea of the Hulk getting mixed up for the Golem. A character from Hebrew myth. I think that's kind of a neat idea. I mean, this is what this kid think. I mean, what else would this kid think of? If she's not familiar with the Hulk. So I liked that whole angle, and the Hulk getting involved in this country is all pretty neat. So again, really not a bad story. Again, not as quite as visually effective as the first one, but still some fun stuff. But then it's the third one. Here we go. This is the one that I remember this book so vividly for. Cry Hulk, Cry Havoc. From Incredible Hulk number 150 by Archie Goodwin, Herb Trimpe, and John Severin. I am all in on John Severin drawing or inking Herb Trimpe on the Hulk. I grew up on Cracked Magazine, where it's John Severin was all over. So his art style is just like music to my eyes. And when I don't think I knew until I bought this treasury that he had ever done superhero work. He didn't do a lot, but what he did, boy, I love this. And so I really enjoy the combo of Severin on Trimpe. So for this story, the Hulk escapes from Project Greenskin and he wanders into the New Mexico desert with Thunderbolt Ross on his trail. He spies a biker gang harassing a woman with green hair who he thinks is his beloved Jarella, not recognizing that she is the mutant Polaris. The Hulk helps stop the bikers, but when he catches up to Lorna, he is confused when he realizes that she is not Jarella. She is found by her boyfriend, the former X-Man known as Havoc, leading to a fight between him and Hulk. First of all, I love the Hulk mixing up with the X-Men. That's still something that I thought was rather novel in 1978. It didn't see, I mean, I you know, you didn't really see a lot of the X-Men generally until they became really big, and I don't think I was aware of Uncanny X-Men. They were not as big characters, of course, as they wanted to become. And I've always loved Havoc. I thought he had a cool power set. I love his costume, and I always thought he was sort of an underrated member of the X-Men. But the page that I remember the most, and this will be in the gallery, is page 56, where Lorna is on top of this cliff face, and the Hulk is down in the valley fighting Havoc, and he decides, he is going to take on Havoc by ripping off the entire front chunk of the cliff face. And Herb Trimpe does this great panel where most of the entire page is taken up by the Hulk ripping this chunk off of the cliff face. And so it really underscores the massiveness of what the Hulk is doing. And I remembered sitting on the couch in my parents' cabin. It was in front of this big bay window, so it was great for reading because the sun was always coming in behind me. And reading this particular story over and over and over and looking at this page over and over again. And it really put across just how powerful the Hulk was. It's just when I was digging this treasury out to look at it again, and I got to that page, like, man, I just have such vivid memories of this. It's so beautifully done. I absolutely love it. And again, just the inking by Severin is fantastic. And then at the very end of the story, Betty finds Bruce Banner, and he's half unconscious, and he starts talking about Jarella, my love. And of course Betty's like, Jarella, who is Jarella? And of course Glenn Talbot is only there to get in the middle of all that and stuff. But it's a great story. It's an absolute classic. It's my favorite. It's one of my Hulk, favorite Hulk stories of all time. And seeing it in the Treasury format is just so wonderfully rewarding. I nothing against Sal Buscema or Sal Trapani, who inked the next story, which we'll get to in a moment. But man, I sort of wish they had just done four stories from the Trimpe Severin era of the Incredible Hulk, because I just love that thing to pieces. Just so it's so beautiful. So the last story is Frenzy on a Faraway World from Hulk number 158 by Roy Thomas, Herb Trimpe, and Sal Trapani, who I just mentioned. The Hulk is in space, hanging onto a rock containing his old foe, the Rhino. It crash lands on a planet called Counter-Earth, which is a parallel world similar to our own, except there is no Hulk. There is a Bruce Banner and Betty Ross, however, who are about to be married, only for the nuptials to be interrupted by the Hulk and then the Rhino. Did you follow all that? This was apparently the plan of the leader. And it's, I mean, all these Hulk stories are continued on because the Hulk was kind of one giant narrative of him going from place to place. This in particular, obviously, is picking up quite heavily from the previous story. So it's interesting that they chose to do kind of part twos or part ones of stories, as opposed to maybe doing two stories of two books each. They did four stories of one book each, kind of thing. By the way, it does feature this story features a cameo by Warlock. That's one of the great things about the Marvel Universe, is that you could have a character who just sort of pops up in a panel and is just sort of meandering, and we're like, oh, look what's going on over there. Meanwhile, they're in there having their whole adventures in their whole other series. It really did make the whole universe seem like one big cohesive piece. We get an appearance by the High Evolutionary, always one of my favorite weird ass Hulk villains. There is this very strange thing we get to see of Bruce Banner talking to the Hulk, because of course it's the Bruce Banner from Counter Earth talking to the Hulk of this Earth, and then they get into a giant fight. There is a full page illustration of the Rhino and the Hulk battling with these sort of weird ass creatures in the background. Inking wise, again, Sal Trapani, I'm not quite as high on as I am John Severin, but I couldn't possibly be any more in for John Severin than I am. I'll stop going on and on about it. It's a fun story, but it's so odd, and it's got so much. There's so much stuff going on. There's so many ideas that I always sort of found it to kind of be the least effective, both visually and story wise. Although it is fun watching the Hulk and the Rhino fight one another. So. And then on the inside back cover is the cover gallery showing all four, and you've got the great cover of the Hulk smashing his way through the biker gang as he's trying to rescue Lorna. Just absolutely love it. I really would love to own that original comic as well. And then on the back cover, you've got Many Foes Has the Hulk, which as a kid, I thought that was like a perfectly grammatically acceptable way to write things, and not realizing that's just basically Stanley. Now, it's kind of interesting. We've seen the Hulk fighting the Rhino and the leader and Havoc. And if you don't look closely, it's pretty much, it looks like Man-Thing. He's colored green and he looks like he's got those tendrils dripping off his face, but it's not. It's supposed to be Glob. And I guess whoever colored this maybe didn't know from the artwork that it's not supposed to be Man-Thing. It's an easy mistake to make. But if you look really closely, or if you don't look really closely, you're going to be like, oh yeah, Hulk fights Man-Thing in this one. But no, he does not. Overall, it's a fun treasury. It's not the greatest Hulk collection. It really should be called the Wandering Hulk, because in each story, it's him meandering to yet another location, with Florida, Morvania, or this other planet, or out in the New Mexico desert. But I guess the Wandering Hulk wouldn't have the same quite impact as the Incredible Hulk, and they only had so many adjectives to use. But overall, it made for a fine collection, and like I said, it is a beloved book because of just that one story and how much I read it. And for $1.50, you can't beat that. You're getting your money's worth for 80 big pages of Incredible Hulk action. And of course, not too long after this, they would basically turn Marvel Treasury, the series, over to Spider-Man and Hulk. It was either Spider-Man or Hulk, with like maybe one Conan thrown in, sometimes even Spider-Man and Hulk in the same issue, but they just turned it over to their TV stars and it was Spider-Man and Hulk. So it's a fun book. I like it. I like it a lot, and it's been a beloved part of my collection for a long time. So I'm going to take a short break, get a sip of water, and when I come back, I'm going to do some listener feedback from the previous episode of Treasure Cast, which you did about 6 months ago. Stay tuned.
Hello there. Come on in and welcome to the Fantastic Four. I am your host, Brett Young, and this is the podcast serving up comics, cocktails, and conversation for your listening pleasure. Every episode, I'll welcome a guest to the Fantastic Lounge to explore one of their favorite comic book characters and cover a classic story in which they're featured. What pairs better with great literature than a delicious drink? Based on my guest's ingredient of choice, we'll mix up a cocktail or mocktail to enjoy in the Fantastic Lounge while we talk comics, mixology, history, and whatever else comes to mind. So join me every month for the Fantastic Pour, open for business by the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
The Outcasters starts a bold new direction by covering Avengers Under Siege with Earth's mightiest podcasters. Outcasters Under Siege, coming in 2026, only on the Right On Network.
And we're back, and as I promised, we're going to be doing listener feedback from the comments we got on Treasury Cast number 101, where we were talking about the Superman Hero for All Treasury with Michael Bailey, and then we had the discussion of where the Treasury format is right now with my pal Dan Greenfield. First up is Rob McCarthy, who says, not sure I ever liked Superman having even been Superboy. All right, fair enough, Rob. Andrew Leyland says, well, this was a lovely surprise. Well, thank you, Andy, and I hope this episode was as well, even though we didn't have a guest. Ado Boznar says, oh, man, for a split second, I thought Rob would say he was only joking about closing the show and we'd get a whole new season, but then reality kicked in. It's like waking up from one of those good dreams. Well, even a special presentation Treasury Cast is tops in my book, and this one even had a Treasury-sized duration. Anyway, it's really interesting that DC has done a bona fide Treasury with new material and a full-length story to boot. As for future Treasuries, I think Rob should bring the network's full force to bear and demand an Aquaman Treasury with all new content. Oh, okay. I mean, I thought maybe there was a chance of that when the first Jason Momoa movie made $1 billion. But it was not to be. Now, whether Aquaman will ever come back in the James Gunn version of the DCU, I guess he will at some point. I don't know. But, it's not as far-fetched as it might be, you know, as it would have normally been in any other case. Martin Gray says, thanks for a great comeback. I added the new Superman Treasury, my only quibble being the same as Michael's, the revillainization of Maxima. She'd come on so much. Michael is, I don't know what that means. Michael's also spot on about Panic in the Sky similarity. I'm glad things became clearer on second read, Rob, given how hard Dan Jurgens tried to make the history clear. Then again, putting in a false history first can't have helped. I did like that this story was set before John Kent took a long holiday on Earth 3. The current Superman Jr. is far less fun than the Super Son. I don't understand any of that. Excellent chat on the state of the Treasury Nation with Dan. JLA number 200, X-Men Titans, and Action Comics 500 are definitely my top picks for the Untold Legends treatment. Agreed. Martin. Chris Franklin from this very network says, great to have the show back, even on an occasional basis. I unfortunately missed out on the Superman 2025 Treasury. I didn't communicate well to my LCS and I wanted all DC Treasuries, and it has sold out and it isn't available for reorder either. I know it's on DC Universe Infinite, Ultra Humanite Marine Corps or whatever, but reading a Treasury digitally is just wrong. That is yes. Sounds like something right up my alley. I co-sign all the hopes for Treasuries to come. I think Action number 500 is a real contender because it is essentially to Superman what Untold Legend was to Batman, a whirlwind history of the character and the origins of his various friends and foes. Plus, as mentioned here in the episode I guested on with Rob, it was meant to be a Treasury. So come on, DC, at least give us this and the JLA story meant for the Treasuries to begin with. Oh, and it goes without saying that Michael and Dan were great guests, but I said it anyway. Brett Young, also from this very network, says, great to have Treasury Cast back. Now that you've done 101 episodes, you need to go to 200 to round it out. I'm very pleased to see all the sports metaphors, Rob. I'm glad I have some sort of influence on the network. Terrific conversations with Michael Bailey and Dan Greenfield. Always good to hear from the experts. Dallin Bumgarten says, yes, I buy a copy of almost all of the new Treasuries that are coming out, but Superman was never my bag, baby, and I was looking for an excuse not to buy this one. I perused the different covers, grabbed a copy, and began to thumb through, hoping to discover an egregious misstep that would allow me to walk out of the shop without purchase, guilt-free. I was hoping for mediocre art. Nope, the art was great. Maybe a stupid tie-in to the most recent Super storyline that I wasn't following? Nope, it appeared to be a fairly standalone story. How about an overused villain that nobody cares about anymore? Nope, these characters seemed downright obscure to my eyes. And then I spotted it. The reason I was definitely going to purchase a copy. The old school movie stills and interviews in the very back. Yep, I had to have it. I love it. LOL. Unfortunately, I finally saw the movie today and I didn't care for it one bit. You win some, you lose some. Dallin, I think you're dead inside. Nate the Great says, both this Treasury and the movie seem to be made with us old school comic fans in mind. The Treasury seemed to be a sequel to Jurgens' Superman run. The movie even had Crypto and a live action Metamorpho. They both are awesome. Doug Adamson says, what a great surprise to have the show come back, even if it's only for a one-off special. Thanks, Rob and Co., for an entertaining listen. As for the Superman Treasury in question, I missed this on the shelves when on vacation, but my LCS has got me a backup copy, which I hope to collect from them soon. He apologized. It was the Dan Jurgens cover, which, considering he's the biggest Superman fan I know he was being ironic. Jurgens is the definitive Superman artist of the 90s to me. So I have to admit, I tried to zone out of the plot discussion a bit so I can go back and read it fresh in a few weeks. As for other Treasury reprints, considering how few times JLA 200 has been reprinted, it is a must for me. DC should actually realize what they are sitting on. Anyway, it was great to have the show back, and fingers crossed there will be some future reasons for occasional specials. Well, as you know, Doug, yes, there are now going to be occasional reasons for specials. I mean, you know, there's no Hulk Treasury. There's no Hulk event to tie this to. I just wanted to talk about it. And because Marvel is being so obstinate about not doing the Treasury facsimiles like DC is, this was just totally random. It was just, this was one of the Treasuries I hadn't gone to. Let's cover it. And again, like I said, the guest thing didn't quite work out thanks to the stupid internet or whatever, but never, we're doing it anyway. That said, I'm going to make this announcement that I am officially putting the word out for guests if they want to cover one of these Treasuries that we haven't gotten to yet. So I'm about to give you the list of the Treasuries that I never got around to in the first 100 episodes. And I would like to bring the show back in an occasional, once every couple of months, maybe kind of way to cover one of these. That way we can really kind of dot the I's, cross the T's, and cross off all the ones that I wanted to get to. So this is the list of the Treasuries that I still want to get to. From DC, we've got Famous First Edition Action Comics number one, Famous First Edition Superman number one, and Famous First Edition Wonder Woman number one. Those are all the DCs we have left. From Marvel, Marvel Treasury Edition number five starring the Hulk, Marvel Treasury Edition number 15 starring Conan, Marvel Treasury Edition number 19 starring Conan, Marvel Treasury Edition number 24 starring the Hulk, and Marvel Treasury Edition number 27 starring the Hulk and Spider-Man. A lot of Hulk, a lot of Conan. Also from Marvel, the spectacular Spider-Man special edition that they did. It drove me nuts that Marvel would do these one-off treasuries and not make it part of the Treasury Edition series. And so like they're impossible to like find on Mike's Amazing World and stuff because they have such like generic titles. But it's that one with Spider-Man facing the Sinister Six and stuff. It was a one-off. We never got around to that. I never got around to the 2001 A Space Odyssey adaptation. I also never got around to doing the Smurfs, which I kind of wanted to do. I had a guest lined up and then they said they wanted to do it and then they sort of ghosted me. But I actually kind of want to do the Smurfs in a weird way. It's one of like the last Treasury Marvel ever did. Those are all the Marvel ones. And then the one other one from another company, I really want to do the one from Eclipse on Captain EO. There was a Captain EO Treasury Edition, partly in 3D, which is insane. I have it. It's actually bigger than most treasuries, which I can't even fit it on my bookshelf, but it's up in the closet. And I'd love to cover it just for its sheer bizarreness. And I think this year there's a Michael Jackson biopic coming out. Might even be a good time to coordinate that. So those are the ones I would like to do. If you're listening to this and you would like to be a guest on one of those episodes, reach out to me via the Fire and Water website. We can do the form on the website, or you can email us at fwpodcasts@gmail.com. In the subject header, put Treasury Cast, so I'll know that it's for me. And if one of these books appeals to you, just let me know and I will try and figure that out. We'll talk scheduling and maybe we can do it. Because like I said, thanks to all these marvelous facsimile editions that DC has been doing, I'm kind of like getting excited again about the Treasury format. You know, for the longest time, it was just a dead thing and I enjoyed it for what it was, but it was a complete thing. But now, not only is DC doing these, they seem to be ramping up. Even since Dan and I had the discussion in Treasury Cast 101. Their frequency is increasing. DC was doing them every other month. And then they did Christmas with the Superheroes in December. They did Superman versus Spider-Man in January. They're doing the other Superman versus Spider-Man at the end of January. And then they're doing Secret Origins of the Supervillains in February. So they're going, DC is going from every other month to four treasuries in 3 months, which is absolutely amazing. I hope that means that they're going to start cranking them out every single month. It'll be kind of interesting because there's only so many left to do. If they do them every month, after a couple of years, they're actually not going to have any left to do. I can't picture that they're ever going to do Rudolph. But boy, I hope with the Supergirl movie coming out, there's going to be either an all-new Supergirl treasury like they did for Superman, or at the very least a reprint collection. There's going to be a Clayface movie. I can't imagine Clayface is enough to headline a treasury edition, but maybe a Batman Villains treasury with Clayface as the lead story. That would be really cool. I mean, look, I'm going to take whatever treasury DC offers me. I'm kind of curious in the comments, how do you organize your treasury facsimiles? Do you put them with the original treasury that they are the facsimile of, or do you keep them separate? For whatever reason, I'm keeping them separate. And I actually have them in a pile here as I'm talking. And there's just something so beautiful about seeing them all together. Like, DC's doing such a nice job with these things. They are so close to the feeling of the original books, but they're a little bit, you know, paper's a little better. They're just such beautiful things. I love them so much. I love that these are back. And so therefore it's given me more of an inspiration to kind of do Treasury Cast a little bit more often. So like I said, if you're interested in any of those treasuries that I listed, again, I'll go over the list again. Action number one, Superman one, Wonder Woman one, Marvel Treasury Edition number 5, Hulk, Marvel Treasury Edition number 15, Conan, Marvel Treasury Edition number 19, Conan, Marvel Treasury Edition number 24, Hulk, Marvel Treasury Edition 27, Hulk Spidey, Spectacular Spider-Man, 2001, Smurfs, and Captain EO. If any of those are interest, email fwpodcast@gmail.com, put Treasury Cast in the subject matter, and we will try and work it out. So that's going to do it. Big apologies to my, as so far, unnamed guest who unfortunately got hosed thanks to some inflexibility on my side with the scheduling and some weird internet issues. And so I beg their forgiveness for me going ahead and doing this episode solo. I promise to have you back on a later episode to make it up to you. You can find all the back episodes of Treasury Cast on our website, finewaterpodcast.com. You can find me on Blue Sky under Rob Kelly Creative. And if you want to support the Fine Water Podcast Network, just go to patreon.com/FW podcasts. So that's going to do it. Again, it's sort of like a weird little comeback truncated episode. I hope you enjoyed the Hulk talk. And I really do appreciate it. Leave some comments and I'll read them on the next episode of Treasury Cast, whenever that is. But it'll be a sooner rather than later, everybody. And again, thank you for your continued support over this show. I really do appreciate it. So that's going to do it. Until we're back, go big or go home. Got new banners, down the race turns into